Forward to Section 50. As Song of Myself draws to a close, the poet is emerging from the intense imaginative journey that has taken him to the far reaches of the cosmos, as well as to the inner workings of his body, has revealed to him the unity of the stars with the dung beetle, of God with the pokeweed, and has opened up to him how a leaf of grass is no less than the journey work of the stars. Now, awakening from this vast vision, he is wrenched and sweaty, wrung out from the effort, and he feels a bodily calm, a sleep coming on. And his powers of articulation are attenuated as he searches for the words that will summarize what his visionary journey has taught him. The sleep, the long sleep, that Whitman feels approaching may, of course, be the sleep of death, as this section picks up on the powerful evocation of death in the previous section. If so, the unspecified it of this section, I do not know it, it is without name, may be death itself, the state where language fails, the place out of which no words emanate. Or, more likely, it is the inexpressible something that includes and transcends death. But Whitman struggles to name it nonetheless. It is not tied to the earth as we are. It is vaster than that, a force of the universe that is experienced at the most microscopic level, every bit as at the most macroscopic. It is a force that is felt in the embrace of a friend, just as in the mutual attraction of planets and stars. As Whitman struggles to name this force that permeates what we humans call life and death, that extends from the tiniest specks to the vastest realms, he assures us that it is not chaos or death, but rather form, union, plan. He does not deny chaos and death. Instead, he tells us that what may appear to us to be chaos and death are just parts of a larger plan, a vast union that we may fail to see from our limited perspective. And we, the living, of any size or shape, are the outlines of it. We are the current material shapes of whatever nameless creative spirit is moving continually in and through matter and forming it into ever-shifting unions, ever-evolving plans. And so Whitman lands on one of the most resonant American words, a word that rests mysteriously at the heart of the U.S. Declaration of Independence, where Thomas Jefferson revised John Locke's democratic guarantee of life, liberty, and property to the far more evocative life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Americans are not guaranteed happiness, only the right to pursue it, to try to define it. We should not mistake property for happiness, but rather should use our life and liberty to pursue something less certain, less definable, less graspable. Happiness, after all, can come from understanding things more than it can come from owning things. And if we can sense how our lives are essential parts of the vast plan of the universe, we can rest easy in the happiness of knowing our place in the universal weave of existence. Happiness, of course, comes from roots meaning chance or luck. And Whitman understands that the formation of each and every self is purely the luck, the hap, or happening, of the endless circulation of atoms that may, over time, as easily be a part of a star as a part of your lip. The resultant knowledge that we are all so intimately tied to each other and to the cosmos can release us from fear and bathe us in something we might call, for lack of a better word, happiness.